Peterson, would you like to lead us in?
Sure. I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated.
Well, welcome, everyone. This is as lively as this council chamber is, so. Let's see. Roll call.
Councilmember Bright.
Here.
Councilmember Molnar is absent. Councilmember Peterson.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
Here.
And Mayor Scholes.
Here. Thank you, Donna. City Manager, can you cover our closed session announcements this evening?
All right.
I'm sorry.
Honorable Mayor, council members, on Tuesday, July 5th, 2011, after meeting in closed session regarding two items. One was labor with a conference with labor negotiations on all employee groups, and second one was a public employee evaluation of the city manager. The council convened to open session and announced there were no reportable actions taken.
Very good. Thank you, City Attorney. Okay, at this point, we're going to review the order of the agenda as presented by staff and see if the council would like to change the order of the agenda. Do any members want to change the order of the agenda as presented?
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Okay, so we are going to follow the agenda as presented by staff, and I believe there are copies back there on the table. And moving right along to our first item this evening, and this is on our ceremonial calendar, and this is a proclamation declaring July 2011 as National Park and Recreation Month. And so I'm going to read this proclamation, and I believe Parks and Recreation Director Petker is going to come up and say a few words and make an introduction. So let me read this, and I'm from here. This is, in fact, a proclamation of the City of Grover Beach designating July 2011 as National Park and Recreation Month. And it says, whereas the park and recreation profession in California creates community through people, parks, and programs, and whereas our parks help to preserve and protect the natural and cultural resources of California, whereas park and recreation services support more productive workforces, enhance the desirability of locations for businesses and families, and stimulate tourism revenues to increase a total community development model, and whereas park and recreation services strengthen our community image and sense of place and increases cultural unity by the Grover Beach Parks and Recreation Department, now therefore be resolved that the Grover Beach City Council urges all residents to enjoy and recognize the social, physical, mental, economic, environmental, and community benefits derived from our park and recreation services, which provide something of value to everyone, and to recognize July as National Park and Recreation Month. So, Director Petker.
Thank you, Mayor Scholes. Hello, I'm Kathy Petker. Thank you. I'm Kathy Petker. I'm the Parks and Recreation Director. And at this time, I would like to invite our Tiny Tots preschool program, our teachers and our children, and our parents are here. If we could have the teachers and the children come up to the front here, please.
Oh, boy. Look out.
What does this shirt say?
Boys make nuts. Noise. Boys
make noise. I need one of those shirts.
These are our teachers, Mrs. Sandy and Mrs. Carmen, and they've been teaching with the City of Grover Beach Parks and Recreation Department for 34 years combined, and a total of 50 years in preschool. So we're very fortunate to have them here with us. And our preschool program, obviously, is for the young children, 18 months to 5 years, and we're very fortunate that we get these kids at an early age with these influential teachers, and they're learning the basics of life and the fundamentals and the, you know, the basic building blocks of life. And then they go on into our other programs in Parks and Recreation with our skate park and our classes and other activities that we offer in our camps. And National Parks and Recreation Month is our opportunity to celebrate everything that we do in the city, including our sizzling summer concert series, all of those activities that allow community members to come together and meet and socialize and be proud of the image of your city and the city of Grover Beach. So with that, I'll go ahead and hand it over to Miss Sandy, and the kids are going to do a little program for you.
Thank you. Our program covers ages between
EFG HIJK LMNOP. Our grandson.
That explains it.
All right. Our big kids are used to singing after the flag salute. We always sing afterwards, "You're a grand old flag." Please join us if you feel the urge. Ready?
Grand old flag.
You're a grand old flag, you're a high-flying flag, and forever in peace may you wait. You're the emblem of the land I love, the home of the free and the brave. Every heart beats true, the red, white, and blue, where there's never a ghost or bread. Should all acquaintance be forgot, keep your eye on the grand old flag.
Bravo.
The songs that we sang this summer, you might remember if you grew up around the same time as Ms. Carmen and I. It was a television commercial for Chevrolet when we were kids. So, are you ready to buckle up?
Okay. Buckle up for safety, buckle up. Buckle up for safety, always buckle up. Give your seatbelts now, give an extra tuck. Buckle up for safety, everybody. Buckle up for safety, buckle up. Buckle up for safety, always buckle up. Show the world you care by the belt you wear. Buckle up when it's safety
when you're driving. Buckle up.
Ensure that everyone stays happy and healthy. So we're going to sing "Cover Your Mouth When You Cough." Ready? Stand up, Emilio. Here we go. Big voices. Ready?
Cover your mouth.
Fantastic.
Thank
Very
you.
Nice. Very nice.
We'll give them a minute to clear the chamber.
She don't want to go.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to public communications, and this is an opportunity for any member of the public to address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes on any item within the jurisdiction of this council. Please bear in mind that the council cannot take any action on your comments as they are not properly on the agenda. So is there anyone that would like to address the council during public communications this evening?
Good evening, Brad Snook, volunteer coordinator for our county's chapter of the Surfrider Foundation. A few terms have become familiar to people following Surfrider Foundation's request for an independent investigation into potential malfeasances as our sanitation district's wastewater treatment plant by plant administrator Wallace Group. Whistleblowers, notices of violation, conflicts of interest, intergovernmental agency oversight. However, our county's grand jury or the county's auditor cannot measure our plant's effectiveness. The function of a wastewater treatment plant is to treat effluent to a level meeting or exceeding state-mandated standards for quality. These standards are set to safeguard public and environmental health, and it appears whistleblowers, notices of violation, conflicts of interest, and the need for grand jury and intergovernmental agency oversight are indication that the district's leadership isn't meeting its obligations. We pay the district to meet specific standards. We have to be experts at state water board regulations and expectations, and they would have to be able to mitigate the plant administrator's contracting and budgeting conflicts. The directors don't necessarily have this level of expertise. How can they prove that the conflicts of interest have been mitigated? It's time to restore focus on the true function of our wastewater treatment plant. It's time to ask tough questions and expect excellent answers. It's time to admit the Wallace Group's pervasive presence in all facets of district's operations may have led to the violations of state water board standards. It's time to investigate potential malfeasances by plant administrator Wallace Group at the South Slo County Sanitation District's wastewater treatment plant. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Snook. Is there anyone else that would like to address the council during public communications? Okay, seeing that, I'm going to close it, bring it back to the council. And we are going to move into our public hearings this evening. This is item number two. And this is an appeal of the Planning Commission's denial to construct a second-story addition. And I believe the Mayor Pro Tem.
Yes. We have, as you know, have received a letter from the
applicant. Mayor Pro Tem, I think what we were looking for is a recusal at this point
yourself.
In time.
Oh. I guess you do have to. I should already sit here and listen to this.
And again, for the record, the reason for the recusal is that you live within 500 feet of the project.
Okay. So it's my understanding that the applicant has, in fact, submitted a request. The applicant slash appellant.
The appellant has submitted a request for a continuation.
Okay. The city attorney?
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council members. The appellant does have a right to request a continuance when his matter cannot be heard by the full council, and absence of Councilmember Molnar creates that situation. Consequently, staff would recommend that the public hearing is opened, that no testimony is taken, as all four of you that are going to be deliberating this item at a next council meeting need to be here for that testimony. And by motion, the public hearing is
one will be able to come back when we will have a full council sitting to hear this item. So there's a motion, there's a second. If there's no additional discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. So can you state the date again, sure. City Attorney?
The item by motion has been continued to August 1st, 2011, in the council chambers at 6:30 p.m.
Okay, very good. And I'm going to give these to the city clerk for safekeeping for next time.
Okay, that's what you get for not paying attention.
Yeah. No, it's going to be boring in here.
Yeah, two items and we're dead.
Okay, let's move on to our consent agenda, and this is an agenda where we typically take routine items as a group. Do any members of the board want to pull any items from consent? And does anyone from the public want to comment on any items on new consent? Okay, seeing none. If no one wants to remove any items, I'll accept a motion on the consent agenda.
I'll move that we approve the consent agenda as published.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion, and I think the second is by Councilmember Bright. And I didn't read what those items are. One was a treasury report for a period of June 29th through July 13th. There were various minutes from June 20th, 2011. And then there was a proposed memorandum of understanding with the Grover Beach Police Officers Association, a proposed one-year memorandum of understanding with the Services Employees International Union, and then also an adoption of federal equity sharing agreement. We have a motion. We have a second. If there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Nichols.
Yes.
Councilmember Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember Peterson.
Yes.
And Mayor Scholes.
Yes. Okay, moving on to regular business tonight. This is item number 8, and this is an update and recommendations regarding the continuation of redevelopment agency. City Manager Peralt.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, and is called actually a dissolution bill. And the second bill that was passed offers the council with the payment of some funds to actually reinstate the agency. It is a very complex issue. We're still learning about it, largely because the legislation itself was very complicated when it was drafted. And in many ways, I think there are probably more pitfalls in these two bills than any piece of legislation I've seen thus far. It'll probably take us some time to actually figure it all out, but it is important that the council begin making some decisions regarding continuation. Because as you'll see from the report, the actual time is ticking. I'll cover AB 1X26, the dissolution bill, first. It was effective with the governor's signature again. That was on June 29th. And as of October 1st, 2011, the agency will actually be dissolved and the assets will be referred to a successor agency that will then have the obligation of carrying out the obligations that the agency previously had. And once those are done, the remaining tax increment would then be redistributed through the traditional taxing agencies. In mentioning that, in essence, what happens is that within the redevelopment agency, as I've explained before, and and within the project areas that overlay parts of the city, because of the agency, we're actually allowed to keep a greater share of our property tax. In essence, what happens is that we're allowed to keep 54 cents, roughly, of every dollar collected, and then those funds can be used in a number of ways that benefit the city, and we've seen those with recent infrastructure projects, etc. Without the agency's overlay, the city receives 17 cents on the dollar, and that's what actually goes into the general fund. The as I understand entities, what this means again for Grover Beach is that about $1.1 million we would lose control over that we have received on an annual basis for the last several years. Should be aware that obviously October 1st is a way off, so there's actually an interim period that we're entering into now. And the interim period, you should know exactly what you can and can't do. As noted in the staff report, the agency is prohibited during this period from taking on any new obligations and entering into any new contracts or commitments. The agency may, however, continue to meet obligations, pre-existing obligations, that where we have ongoing contractual relationship. The other part that you should know is that actually the city can continue to provide staffing to the agency for this interim period, but is prohibited really from taking on any additional staff. Mention that once the successor agency is in place, it really has oversight for operations as the redevelopment agency is phased out. The next part of the double team is that AB1X27 was also legislated, and in essence, it allows cities to make a decision on whether they want to continue continue with redevelopment. And it does this by enacting an ordinance, and that ordinance is required to be enacted before October 1st, that essentially commits the city to making a combined payment of $380,000 into a special fund that will be used for educational and special district purposes. What this really is the state moving money around in order to solve its own budget commitments and problems. Once that is that guarantee or that commitment is made, then the agency can basically go on and continue operating as you have in the pleading a bond issue. When the governor signed the legislation, we would have used those proceeds to actually repay some pre-existing loans that existed between the city and the agency from the early days when the agency was created. Essentially, if you allow the agency to dissolve, those internal loans would no longer be recognized and we wouldn't be able to repay them. However, with the continuation of the agency, you do have the opportunity, whether bonds are issued or not, at least it provides you a methodology to repay those loans. It should also be noted that the first annual payment is just the beginning, so to speak. At this point, we know that annually you would be required to make payments of an estimated $88,000 into this same fund for ongoing years, probably for the life of the agency. It should be noted that that $88,000 may, in fact, grow for a couple of reasons. It may, and it's a complicated formula that is actually tied to the amount of increment you receive. So in future years, as your increment increases, so would the $88,000. The other thing to keep in mind, there's nothing that keeps the state from coming back in a later year and indicating that they need to do the same thing over again and increasing those dollar amounts. So there are those complications. Obviously, I should tell you that about the potential lawsuits. Both the Community Redevelopment Association and League of California Cities have, in fact, today filed lawsuits against the state relative to the implementation of these two bills. What they're seeking is, first of all, a stay of the legislation. We won't know for a while yet exactly what that stay means. If a stay is granted, it would probably be known about the middle of August, and that stay may impact both bills in January. So that will give you a time frame. But I wouldn't be personally optimistic about that time frame. They will be testing, the lawsuit will test the constitutionality of the bills. As you all remember, Proposition 26 was passed last year by 61% of the voters, that essentially kept or was supposed to prohibit the state from reallocating local property tax. ABX 26 and ABX 27 is a way, an attempt by the state to get around that proposition. I should talk about the impact that the lawsuit might have on our pending bond issue. Obviously, that was placed on hold. As I mentioned, the continuation of the agency, and if the ABX 27 is upheld, that would allow us at some point to issue bonds. It may be difficult to do so before the lawsuits are completed, so we'd be delayed in what we had anticipated. In fact, initially I was hoping that we'd be able to restart the bond process right away and have it completed by September or October. We'd still be able to complete it, but it's more likely going to be January or February before we would ultimately get those proceeds. Staff has a recommendation. You may wonder why in the world would we recommend that the council adopt the ordinance to continue, given all the things I've just said. Well, for a couple of reasons. One, again, it will allow us to basically control our local property tax. We won't completely have lost that ability. Number two, in the future, as the hotel project comes online, as other development occurs within the project area, we would still receive the incremental benefit from all of this. So it's suggested that we continue to do it for that reason. Obviously, it'll allow us to repay those loans to 1 year's housing allocation to the housing fund to assist in making the big payment that's due next spring. I should mention those payments are due January 15th and May 15th. And the annual housing allocation amounts to $280,000. And in addition to that, where would we get the other remaining $100,000? It would either be through the general fund reserves or sewer fund reserves. You could still use those reserves. It would basically become a part of the long-term loan that eventually would get back through the continuation of the agency. So it's not a lot of good news I have to report tonight relative to this particular issue, but staff would suggest that you strongly consider reactivating the agency. Again, the way to do that would be with the introduction of an ordinance, and we would suggest that we could have that ordinance prepared by the next meeting so that we would move the process along relatively quickly. Once the ordinance has its second reading, you basically inform the state that you've taken that action, and with that second reading, you're basically good to go in terms of resuming your activities. That concludes my report. Both the city attorney and I are available for any questions you might have.
City attorney, do you have anything you wanted to add?
Mayor, I think the city manager covered fairly thoroughly. I'll gladly answer any questions if you have.
Very good. So who's got questions?
Nope.
No? Councilmember Bright.
Thank you. You had indicated that that if we were to go forward and continue, that we would pretty much be able to continue business as usual with a few exceptions.
Well, and ultimately the few exceptions, the only one I can call out right now is for the time being until those lawsuits are completed, you'd probably be limited from issuing debt.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. That's all I have at the moment.
Mayor Pro Tem?
I realize there will be a ton of changes.
The provisions of the bill allow the agency to continue so long as payments are being made. I think once the payments stop, you revert to a dissolution status.
Okay. All right.
So clarification is if you go down that road, then you and then obviously the board could choose to dissolve the agency if you feel it has achieved its objectives early, correct?
Well, you could. You would just at that time quit making the payments and then fall back on the dissolution bill.
Okay. I had questions, and you answered them all in your presentation, because I was wondering when the ordinance went into effect, or in fact when it became enacted.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we covered that. And then Bob, you had talked about some loans, so that basically could, if we got to a point where we could in fact incur additional debt and we could complete the pending bond, we could use some of those funds. And I believe is one of those loans to the general fund itself?
Yes, there is three loans. One of those is to the general fund was incurred when the
loans from the general fund
were run from the general fund, yeah. Was incurred when the South Industrial area started.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the balance on that loan is about $450,000.
Okay. Great. Okay. I don't have any other questions. This is a business item. I'll see if there's someone in the audience that would like to address the council on this item. Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back. Let's have some discussion. Councilmember Wright, you want to start?
I'm ready to make a motion.
Then make a motion.
Okay. Then I make a motion that we direct staff to draft the ordinance that would comply with AB1X27 and continue the Grover Beach Improvement Agency.
Mm-hmm. I'll second that.
Okay. And then what I do want to ask, there's a motion and a second. So there's some clarification in here. Staff had talked about using this year's allocation for housing fund to pay the ransom. Oh, I'm sorry, the buy-in fee.
If we get that,
is that something that should be part of the motion, or is that just something we can give direction on?
I think that at this point in time, there is no need to include that in the motion.
Okay.
I think
it will allow us to continue to receive some incremental benefits from redevelopment, and that's not just the lodge. That's any properties in the
right.
Improvement agency areas that increase in value. And then, yes, we will continue to have the proceeds available for investment, obviously less, but still I think it puts us in the best position to continue what we've been doing. So with that, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. So let's see. We have no pulled consent agenda items. And what I'm going to do before we do community reports is I'm going to recess the regular meeting and then call to order a joint City Council Improvement Agency meeting for Monday, July 18, 2011. So, Donna, when you're ready, roll call.
Here.
Councilman Board Member Molnar is absent. Councilman Board Member Peterson?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chair Nichols?
Here.
Mayor and Chair Scholes?
Here. Thank you, Donna. Public communications, is there anyone that would like to address the City Council Improvement Agency on any item within the jurisdiction of this body? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close it, bring it back. Let's move into our Improvement Agency Consent Agenda, and this is item IA1, it looks like there are several minutes of some meetings from May 24th, which is a special joint City Council Improvement Agency meeting, from the meeting of June 6th, another joint meeting, also meetings from June 20, 2011. So, do any members of the agency board want to pull any items from consent?
I'll make a motion that we accept the consent agenda and
okay.
items as presented.
I'll second that.
There's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Okay, let's move down to City Council Improvement Agency business. This is item CCIA1. This is discussion regarding revisions to the fiscal year 12 budget. City Manager, Executive Director Perron.
Mr. Mayor, Chair, members of the Council and Board, as you'll recall, you received presentations both on May 24th and again on June 6th regarding to revisions to the FY11, FY12 budget. And to just refresh your memory, we are in the middle of a two-year budget cycle, so essentially we're only dealing with the second year at this point. At the end of that discussion, recommendations in terms of how to deal with the remaining deficit. As the council is aware, the sale of the city-owned property located at 920 Brighton failed to materialize, and as a result, I should note, again, that affected first the FY11 budget because it did not receive the revenue that was anticipated. So consequently, the FY10 budget, we are looking at covering that with $120,000 worth of general fund reserves. It also left a difference of $115,000 that we had anticipated in carryover funds. The other item that I need to update you on is the completion of the meet and confer process. And that's actually, I think, some positive news in that staff has reached agreement with, as you did tonight, the Police Officers Association and SEIU. And we also have a tentative agreement with the Management Confidential and the Executive Management Groups. Combined, the employees have really stepped up to the plate, and they have been able, or we've been able to reach agreement on slightly more than $310,000 in concessions. Those are salaries and benefits that will benefit the general fund through the remainder of the year. Should mention that those adjustments are also across the board, so they'll also be affecting your other funds. In other words, those personnel costs in the remaining funds will also be going down as we complete the budget process. The final area that took place was state budget decisions again regarding the VLF. In the legislature's final deliberations, and you may have read or seen this, the state actually took away the local allocation of VLF dollars, which for us amounted to about $46,000. On the other side, they did, however, allow for a continuation of the reimbursement of booking, but based on those the impacts noted above, the general fund is allocated or is noted as follows. Essentially, our revenues and transfers are $6,700,000 to slightly more than $770,000. Our expenditures are $7,246,997. And our general fund deficit right now stands at $467,490. I should mention that those expenditures, though, are about in the general fund, and this figure is right off my head at this point, but it's about $250,000 lower than they were last year. So we are definitely headed in the right direction, but at the same time, our revenues aren't growing at all as well. Staff's recommendations are as follows. With our negotiations with the employee groups, we've reached agreement on converting our existing plan to CalPERS plan, which is much cheaper. And we expect that we would be able to save an estimated $70,000 for completing that conversion. And we expect that conversion to take place probably in November. Staff would still suggest the council consider the sale of city-owned property.
depending on the council's directions, the sale would involve any of the properties that the council has previously identified. Staff would suggest that the property be sold on the open market and not involve the improvement agency. And we have estimated that that would probably bring to the general fund about $200,000. And that actually, what that leaves is the remainder of $197,490 that could be made up from general fund reserves. It's important to note, as I already have mentioned, though, that you will have used $120,000 in those reserves for last year as it is. Staff would suggest at this point that you provide us with direction to resolving the issues in the general fund, and then at the next agenda we would have the appropriate resolutions in place to adopt the final revisions for FY12. That concludes my report, and I'm available to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, anyone with questions? Councilmember Bright.
Thank you. I'm wondering about, we had spoke when we met at one time, Bob, regarding the street sweeping.
Yes.
Can you give me an update on that?
What we are planning.
Bodies.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. So then you're looking into all the aspects of whether or not we must sweep.
Right.
And
how often. And
right, we could save a good chunk of change there. I mean, we're looking at, what, almost $4,800 a month, just this month alone. Okay, then I think that's my only question. I have some discussion, but that's my only question at this point. Thank you.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem?
I don't have any questions. I have some discussion also.
Okay. So, Bob, I just want clarification on the total amount of reserves that are recommended to be used, and then the remaining balance of our reserves, because as we see, the state continues to,
right,
to get us coming and going, the booking fees and all of that. So we want to make sure that we have sufficient monies in reserve for emergency.
Right now, the recommended use of reserves is the $197,490, and my thinking, Eve, I believe our reserves are about $2.1 million right now.
Okay. So this is over and above what the council originally targeted when we had tried to close the gap.
No, actually, it's within your – it depends on how you look at it, because last year...
Well, you know how I'm looking,
yes,
at it, obviously.
I know. Yeah.
But go ahead.
Last year, as we ended up, we used $120,000 in reserves in FY11, so we're only recommending that we use $197,000. Combine those two, fall within the parameters you gave us originally to solve the budget problem.
Okay, because I recall that number being around 300,000.
That's correct.
And when I do the math, it's about 317.
Right.
Okay. Okay. I have no additional questions. Is there anyone that would like to address the item before the council this evening? Okay, seeing none. Let's have some discussion. Mayor Pro Tem.
Yeah, number one, I want to thank all of the employees, all of them, that have worked so hard and have given so much to help us get through this difficult time. And I commend the city manager for his efforts and his negotiations. Obviously, you've done a very good job, and I haven't heard anybody say any real derogatory.
Again, coming through when we need them.
Okay, very good. Councilmember Bright.
Well, you stole my thunder, but that's all right. Anyway, no, I agree wholeheartedly, absolutely. My one comment, though, regarding the recommendations is regarding the sale of city-owned property. My concern with that is that we look at the intent of the donor, and at least that's what I'm going to look at, because I'm very concerned that If we start selling off pieces of property that have been donated for a specific purpose, and that purpose isn't achieved, people aren't going to, that's just not going to continue to happen in this town. So, and I think that we owe it to those people to actually give their wishes a great deal of merit and so on. Other than that, I think we've done the best we can in a bad situation, and I thank you very much for all that you've done.
Could I have a point of clarification?
Sure.
Of the city-owned properties that have been donated, there's one. Is that right? Is there more than one?
There are several pieces of property surrounding the Ramona Park as well as the 13th Street that have been donated to the city. Some of them have specific restrictions for their use. Most of them don't.
Thank you.
And as further clarification, it's my understanding that the property that the community garden sits on was not donated, that the city, in fact, acquired that property.
Purchased that property.
So.
That's not my, okay. I want to know about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think your comment's right on the money. If there's any others that were donated with restrictions, I agree with you completely. That's something we would want to look at.
Even then, I'm saying it may not have had a deed restriction, but there wasn't a specific intent for the donation. Maybe they didn't feel a need that they had to put a deed restriction on it because they felt that their wishes would be, you know, followed.
Yeah. No,
so
I agree with you. I'm just saying that I think there are some properties that fall under that category and there are others that don't. So
and I
we'll
agree.
Ask.
So I'd like to know about those.
Very good. Okay. So let me, I mean, you're talking about Steel and Thunder. Try going last. But again, to thank the employees for the concessions. And I know these are not, these are difficult times and certainly with financial challenges. And my view is that we're going down a road that's could become a dangerous trend if we continue to use cash reserves to close a gap, and that we need to really be looking at those capital reserves. And if this continues, and going through those first, because you never know what kind of emergency will spring up. So I want us to keep that in mind as we go forward. So also thank staff for the clarification on when you're talking about selling city property, because it is a different process that
yes.
we will then have to go through, and it will be a lengthier process
yes.
as well. So, okay. I agree. Looks like we've done as much as we can, and we just need to be vigilant on as we move forward on what our revenues are doing, and then obviously expenditures, which I think you and the staff have done a tremendous job of. So I think that's enough discussion. If there's someone who wants to make a motion on this, I think there is a recommended action on page 3.
I move that we direct staff to resolve the general fund deficit as discussed tonight, as recommended by staff, and direct that resolutions approving revisions to the fiscal year 11 and fiscal year 12 biennial budget be placed on the next City Council Improvement Agency agenda, which I think would be August 1st.
Right.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Since there's no resolution, I can do this on a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. I think with that, I'm going to adjourn the Joint City Council Improvement Agency meeting and reconvene the regular City Council meeting. And we will be going to Council Committee reports. Does anyone have any items they want to report? How about Councilmember Bright?
I have no reports. Thank you.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem?
Very briefly, I did attend the Integrated Waste Management meeting for Councilman Molnar, and the major item on the agenda was the issue concerning single-use bags, banning them within the county. They did, in fact, agree to go forward with that proposal. They were pending, or we were supposed to get a report the following day. The meeting was on Wednesday. The California Supreme Court made a decision, or at least announced their decision on Thursday morning, that communities can, in fact, ban single-use bags. So that is now in effect, and the integrated.
Okay. Councilmember Peterson.
I had a special meeting of the
SLO County Visitors and Conference Bureau on Wednesday of last week, and we appointed Stacy Jacobson to be the new executive, actually not the executive director, she's a contractor, she's a new, I can't remember exactly, executive director, that's what she was, she wasn't the CEO, she's the executive director of the SLO County Visitors and Conference Bureau, and I think that's, she's working right now. And also I'll be meeting with staff on Tuesday morning of next week to work on our Savor the Central Coast booth. And if there is anyone from the public who would like to donate to that booth and or sponsor that booth in any way, we would love to have them come forward. And we will also be meeting with the VCB for their regular monthly meeting on Wednesday morning, and the EVC I'll be meeting next week. So that's all I have to report today.
Very good. And I don't have any reports this evening. So we can, that concludes our committee reports. We have no city council member items tonight. Any council communications?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
Yeah, if you would allow me, I would like to read for the benefit of the public and the listening audience. Back, you'll recall, on June 17th on a Friday night letter from city manager, there were two letters that were included in that Friday night report with reference to our police department. And I think, to the best of my knowledge, this has not been publicized within the community, and I think it's something that should be publicized within the community. May I read these letters?
You've got the floor.
Okay. The first letter, dated June 9, is from a gentleman by the name of Kirby Gordon. And it is a letter of commendation for Sergeant Jerry Cornell. The letter says, "Dear Chief Copsey, it seems that most people these days only want to write or call to complain about something that they do not take the time to do so when someone deserves praise. I wanted you to know about the excellent assistance I received from Sergeant Jerry Cornell on Saturday evening, June 4, at approximately 2010 hours, which is 8:10 p.m. I had mechanical problems, brake issues with my 97 Cadillac, and was stopped on 4th Street near Farrell. Sergeant Cornell assisted me in getting the vehicle over to the side of the road in the rain. Sergeant Cornell was courteous, professional, and sincere in his efforts to assist parties. Thank you, sincerely yours, Kirby Gordon." In addition to that, Chief received another letter, also dated June 7, 2011, which states, "Chief Copsey." And this letter is from Detective Brad Odell from the Douglas County Sheriff's Office in Roseburg, Oregon. "I would like to take a moment to express my gratitude towards Grover Beach Police Department Detective Stephen Ball. I was tasked with reviewing my agency's missing person cases to determine which cases did and did not have DNA reference standards from family members. During the course of my case reviews, I located one case in which there were no DNA reference standards. I was able to locate a biological family member who resides within your jurisdiction. Contact was made with your agency, and I was assisted by Detective Ball. Detective Ball was beyond helpful from the very beginning. He agreed to collect the DNA standard following my specific request. Within weeks after my conversation with Detective Ball, he notified me the standards had been collected and forwarded directly to the National Missing Persons Program per my request. The courtesy and assistance that was extended to our agency by Detective Ball was nothing short of flawless and professional. This type of cooperation is vital to the success of law enforcement everywhere. I request that a copy of this letter be shared with Detective Ball and a copy placed in his personnel file. Should your office ever require any assistance from my agency, I will be the first in line to help. Respectfully, Detective Brad Odell, Douglas County Sheriff's Office." And I commend the chief and your employees. You're doing a great job. Keep it up.
Thank you. Okay.
Very good.
Any other communications? Okay. So then let's move on to the city manager's reports and comments. City manager.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I am asking you to consider the agenda schedule for the meetings in August and September.
Normally, it's been the practice, at least for the last couple of years, that we at least go dark for a meeting or two. My suggestion is that September 6th should be a dark meeting, no meeting that night. September 6th falls right after Labor Day, and sometimes it's difficult in putting agenda items together that would meet with your agreement.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with the September 6th meeting. I can concur with that being dark. That is a difficult time. The August 15th, if we're going to, I think that could turn out to be a very important meeting. So I don't want to eliminate that yet. And I think maybe if we proceed with that on the basis that if it's necessary, we have it. If it's not, we don't. I don't know.
Okay. So how does everyone feel about September 6th?
I'm okay with that, with missing that or having that one deleted, so long as we're not in any way slowing down the progress on the Beachfront Lodge.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay, so September 6th. And I think this will kind of work itself out. City Manager, you and I work together to on the agenda. We typically do work together on the agendas for meetings, so we'll work to make that an efficient meeting. And obviously, the council always has the option to have a special meeting if we need to do that for the Beachfront Lodge.
That's correct.
Depending on what happens. So I think we have consensus then to cancel the September 6th meeting, and then City Manager and I will work together as normal on the August 15th meeting as far as the content and items that are on that. Sound good?
I agree.
Sounds good.
Do we need a motion on that, City Attorney?
No.
Is the direction good? Okay, City Attorney, you have any reports or comments?
Not today, thank you, Mayor.
Okay, very good. Then we are going to recess into closed session, and City Attorney, can you
certainly
cover that item?
City Council will recess into closed session for one item, which is existing litigation, a case called Sipple versus City of Alameda.
Very good.